16-year-old.
Huh. They can't take it to 10. I got calls.
This is the Creative Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lopez. This podcast is designed to help influence the influencers like you, the coach. I hope you enjoy listening to the stories and journeys of some amazing people. Here we go. Today's guest is Chris Mudge. Coach Mudge is the head coach of the men's program at Sam Houston State University. We talked to him today about his journey in the game, about his time there at Sam Houston State, and about the success that they look to continue to have. Hope you enjoy this podcast and you look to get better every day. Welcome to the podcast, Coach.
Thanks for having me, Coach. I appreciate it.
No, man, it's a blessing to have you on. Known you for a while now, and just really excited and proud of you, really. You know, the time we spent, you know, you recruiting some of my guys in the past and just seeing the opportunity now that you have as a head coach, you see that process kind of come full circle, especially when you're at a program and then you get the call. It really is somewhat gratifying to see, even as an onlooker. So here again, man, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been a really cool journey that I've been on, and very lucky to be moving over, like we said earlier, over 18 inches to the left, and it's a blessing, and excited to be in this role, and looking forward to this year.
Awesome, man. I'm going to start off like I do every podcast, Coach, in that how were you introduced to the game of basketball?
Gosh, man, my mom and dad were sports people. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up just playing with every kind of ball imaginable and just got to try them all and play every sport and see what I liked and didn't like. And I was a decent baseball player also. And I liked soccer for a little while. And for some reason, you know, at the end of it, and I decided as a short guy that can't jump or run very fast, I was like, you know, basketball be the one, that's the one I love the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, how it is sometimes things in life, whether it's, you know, God put it on your heart or, whatever it is, just ends up being, you just know that something is right. And basketball kind of became that for me. And you know, right about when middle school hit, it just became my passion and my love. And I actually didn't ever think about going into coaching. I was at Texas, and you didn't ask this, but I'm telling you anyways, just as in my basketball journey, I mean, I was a chemical engineering major with no, aspirations of coaching. And, you know, I was going to be a regular student. I could have played at probably Division II, Division III, and been an average player there also. I was a decent player. And so I just wanted to go to school and get my degree and go work. And then a couple weeks into the year, there was a hole or a place in my heart that it was not being fulfilled, and I could feel it. And I know that's God and how He speaks to us in many different ways, but maybe you need something else. And so that ended up getting me back to basketball, and obviously the rest is history. But it was, even though it was a passion, I thought I was going to get away from it for a while, but I decided, you know what, you need to keep doing this to serve my kingdom. So get back over there to the basketball team. Go back to Texas basketball and see how you can create your path. And it's obviously done amazing things. And I've been able to hopefully help out some young men and have some incredibly good experiences on the way.
That's fantastic, Coach, because those are the things that, here again, being a manager and then now a head coach, like that journey had to have been somewhat surreal in the sense that you look back and you say, wow, what was that all about? Like, then I got here. Wow. What is that? And then, you know, looking forward to the future and then kind of reflecting at that point, you'll be thinking the same thing. Like, man, this life that I live, wow, what a blessing. Like I didn't even think it was going to happen. Here it is. And so that's really a true success story. You know, however you measure success there, no matter how you do it, you look at that story and you say, that's a successful person. And so that's great, Coach. It really is. Now, in particular, the influence to go into the profession, because you saw what the profession kind of entailed, and you saw even as a manager what, you know, what the workload was, what the stresses were, and even now, what influenced you to go into it knowing all those things?
You know, it's that's a great question, because it's funny when GAs or people that are managers call me and ask for advice or help to get into the business, the first thing I try to do is talk them out of it. And I don't do it to keep people from getting in the business, because it can be such a purpose-driven and amazing business, but you have to feel called and you have to feel purpose in this business, or you'll get burnout or do it for the wrong reasons. There's too much work and too much sacrifice that goes into it of other parts of your life to not do it with all of your heart and mind. And so usually when guys get through that and they say, okay, I still want to do this, when they know all the difficulties of it. And I had some people tell me, like, hey, these are some of the difficult parts of this job. Is it something you still want to do? And then when you make that decision, like any decision in life, if you know the difficulties of it, you know the obstacles, but you still decide to do it, your buy-in is at a much higher level. Yeah. And so I was very lucky. The mentorship that I got from coaches along the way, especially even kind of before I got started, Coach Barnes, Coach Springman, you know, down the line, you know, Coach Ogden, I mean, Coach Terry, you could keep going. The things that I learned from them about not just the difficulties of it, but also the wonderful things that come with it. You know, they showed me a lot of the really amazing things you can get out of coaching, not just from a success standpoint, but the things that people don't see of the relationships you can have with guys, with families, with growth and maturity, and just all those kinds of things. They helped show me those things and give me a way to say, okay, is this where God really wants me to be? And are these the path where I can serve him the best? And knowing those things and, you know, feeling on my heart where he wanted me to go is, you know, kind of what led me down this path. And it's funny how he's continued me on it, because, you know, I had kids, life changes, obviously the thoughts of, okay, is this the right path that I need to be going on? Do I need to do something else to be around my family more? Is there something else that would be more productive in, you know, society, the world, whatever it is? And every time it seems that, you know, through prayer and through guidance that God says, okay, your 2 feet are going in the right direction. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. A couple summers ago, not that I was trying to get out, but I was searching, saying, okay, God, where do you want me to be next? Is this where you want me to be? You know, I applied for some sports administration jobs, associate AD jobs and things, and said, you know, God, if you want me to do that, then open these doors for me so I can follow your will. And none of them came open. And I interviewed for several Division II head jobs over the last couple of years, and I didn't get any of them. I think the thing that it did was help me to trust in God more and say, okay, you have a path for me that is greater than my understanding. Let me trust in that. Wow. And even going through this process, when Coach Hooten got the job in New Mexico State, I had to have that same kind of approach. Yeah. To the future of, you know, I interviewed for a D2 head job and would have honestly been elated if that's the job that I had right now instead of being the head coach at Sam Houston, because I would have known that that's where God wanted me to be. And I think that's what's helped me to stay in this business and keep my focus on the right things, which is our players and the people and the program. It's just being rooted in faith and knowing that there is a purpose and a calling to it. And if guys don't have that, if they're doing it because they like games and that coaching sounds cool and it looks fun, there, as you know, Coach, it's not for the right things, because that's such a small part of what we do.
Yeah.
And so when guys are trying to get into the business, I try to give them all of the other things and talk about, okay, these are some of the other things that are involved, so they can make the best informed decision. But okay, is this the path that I want to go down for my life and for my family and for my future? And then when they do, they're going full steam ahead, which is what I was able to do because I had all the information. I had incredible mentors and leaders. And even as I got into the business, the coaches that I've worked for and the other assistant coaches I've worked with have been incredible leaders. And so I've really been able to even learn along the way, okay, hey, here's how this person does this very well. Here's how this person does this really well, and continues to help me become a better coach and become better on this path going forward.
Yeah, no, Coach, you're saying a lot in that, you know, first of all, kind of recap on your faith, because a lot of coaches do get into this for the wrong reasons, the panache of, you know, banging on the court with their nice shoes and nice suits and, you know, pretending they're Coach Pop or Phil Jackson. And they see that and they think, I'm going to do that one day. And I hope they do get to that point. However, the journey is where it all, the process, all that. And understanding, you know, like what you're saying, you give them the full menu. Like, here's everything that it entails, that, to, at least to your knowledge. And, yeah, and if you still want to do it, go for it. And I think here again, if it's not necessarily a calling, a mission, you probably shouldn't do it, if you even understand what that means, I guess.
Yep.
And so that's when you feel like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like you said, you went through that kind of process of trying to figure out, should I still be here? And it's not to question the organization, the institution, anybody, the head coach. It's not to question any of that. It's just to say, I need to stay on par with what I'm supposed to be doing, because I can do a lot of good things. And we've heard time and time again, but if you're not called to do it, stay away from it. If it's your passion, okay, cool, but are you good at it? Is that what you're supposed to be doing? So I love that, Coach. It's great stuff. You know, you talk about your mentors and all that. That's fantastic. Those coaches you named that were part of those programs, Rick Barnes, you know, Coach Ogden, Terry, all of them, you know, they've gone on to be head coaches too. That tree is a pretty good-looking tree. And so now, you know, here again, you're added to that, and that's fantastic. Now, I want to ask you about when you were a player, or when you played sports and you had to look through the lens of athlete to your coach. What did that look like for you?
So I was lucky. I had really good coaches growing up along the way. And I was a point guard who was not the most talented guy on any team that I ever played on. And so I had to really try and figure out what the coach wanted and how I could best serve the team, because I wasn't going to go be the leading scorer. But I needed to find a way to be on the court. Yeah. And so what are the things that can get me on the court that maybe some other people won't do? What are some things that I can do that, you know, that fit my skill set? And I just need to maximize those. And luckily I had great coaches that communicated, okay, this is what we're about. This is what I need you to do. And sometimes I just go ask them, you know, like Coach Rout in high school, like, Coach, what do you need me to do as a point guard? Like, how do you need me to play? And he would tell me, and I'd do my best to go do that. And for someone who couldn't jump real high and who, you know, wasn't super fast, I just had to figure it out. Say, okay, I got to get on this. I want to play. I don't want to sit. I want to do what helps the team the most. So let me figure out, let me use the gifts that God gave me, because I don't have those other things. And it takes some self-awareness sometimes. And I think that's hard in life, not just in from a player's perspective of, okay, these are my strengths. These are the things that I don't have. All right, let me maximize these things. And this is what coach wants me to do, even if it's not what I want to do. Mm. Like, I didn't shoot the ball almost any in high school, but I averaged like 12 assists. And that's what coach wanted me to do, and I understood it, and I was good at it. But some people would be like, no, I want to shoot the ball 12 times a day. And well, no, I didn't. I realized that wasn't my role, and because that wasn't my role, and because I did what coach wanted me to do, A, our team was really good, not because of me, but just the pieces of it worked really well together. But then also, I played a lot, and that was fun. So I think people can get in their own way, not just in basketball, but in life, in terms of what they think they want to do versus what the team and or the leader or the coach needs.
Yeah.
And I felt that same responsibility and that same type of thing, even being an assistant coach for the different guys that I worked for, or being here at Sam Houston, where I've been for 13 years, I needed to be the best assistant coach for Coach Hooten and do what he needed, regardless of what my strengths necessarily were.
Yeah.
I also needed to work with the rest of the team because year to year, we might have different staff. And so my role might have to change year to year in order to maximize what we get out of the other staff members. One year, there may be two other really good recruiters, so I needed to do a little bit more of the administrative side so that it allows them to be their best and our staff is the best. Maybe one year, we have some guys that are really good at the administrative or the working out guys on the court, so I do a little less of that and I do a little more of this other thing. And so I think that having, whether you're a player, whether you're a member of a team, whether you're on staff, being able to have some perspective around you for, okay, what does this group need me to do to maximize the group? And if you do that, usually you'll find a way to be successful. And just, it's very rare that if you're doing what the team needs, that you're not going to be the person on the court. You're not going to be the assistant coach that's doing well. I mean, all those things. In the moment, it doesn't always feel great. Sometimes people get accolades and things that, you know, you can let jealousy creep in. You can let, you know, perspective and comparison creep in. And we all have our own journey and need to use the things that we have. And so as a player, I mean, it was hard for me. Gosh, I played with four guys that started with me that were all incredible players. They were all Division I level talents. And they got a lot of looks and notoriety and things. And they're great guys. And so I was super happy for them. And it could have been very easy for me, like, well, why am I not getting this? Why am I not getting that? And that would have taken away from the things that I did well. And it made it so I wasn't even doing those. That's hard. Man, that's hard. We talk to our guys about that all the time. We talk to the staff about that. I mean, there's 80-year-old men that are still working on that. But that's just kind of a life concept of being able to have some perspective and being able to mold yourself to a team, no matter what situation you're in.
Yeah.
And I had to because I wasn't – I'm not real tall. Can't jump. Not fast. So to be successful, I mean, I got to figure this out because I can't just, I'm not just going to go beat everybody. I'm not LeBron, who's just better than everybody.
Yeah.
And so it made me figure it out. And I think that's life because very few people in life are actually just the better than everybody thing.
Yeah.
And at some point that always catches up. There's always someone out there who's better.
Yeah.
And then when that situation happens, they have to be able to do the same thought process as well, in order to continue to progress. And that's life in a nutshell right there.
For sure. We can all say amen and go home now in the sense that those are translatable skills. You can, you can take it from sports, from your time there at Stony Point. You think to those things like, wow, didn't realize that was happening then and how it was going to bear fruit later. I didn't realize that I could, you know, implement these concepts and perspectives in my profession. And then also kind of to pass that on to other coaches, because that is super valuable in life, in sports, in relationships. Be who you need to be for that time. And I guess here again, what is it, what's needed of you? If our society got that concept, wow. It would be something amazing. But, you know, here again, we're not going to figure out the whole world's problems today, but that translatable skill, man, it's a good start, if you will. Now, I want to ask you, Coach, what was the, you know, you're talking about your different experiences. Can you recall a memorable experience, like the first time as a coach where you thought to yourself, all right, this is it. Not a player anymore. This is it. I got to get, there's some responsibility now.
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, I think that, you know, there's probably different levels of it, so probably can give a couple examples. You know, one of which, you know, I was a manager at Texas. That's how I got started. I started licking envelopes and getting coffee. And so that is a very service-based position, which coaching is service in its, you know, in its own way. But, I mean, really, that probably the first night where we were up till 2 a.m. doing laundry and vacuuming locker rooms and, you know, getting dry erase markers filled. And when you do one of those things and it's you go through a time where maybe I was a little bit tired, but was doing full acts of service for other players, it makes me like, okay, I'm not a player anymore. Yeah. You know, my role has switched. And then as a coach, when I was done at Texas, I went and coached junior college at Midland College, and I worked for Grant McCaslin, who's now the head coach of Texas Tech, the first year, and then Ross Hodge, who's now the head coach of North Texas. And I worked with Jamal Green, who was absolutely phenomenal, and I learned a lot from him. And probably when I got to junior college and I went from Texas, where money was not an object. I mean, we kind of did whatever we wanted, not in a negative way, but we never said,
resources.
No, don't do that because we can't afford it. To Midland, when I was eating in the cafeteria every day to make ends meet and buying my own pencils for work.
Wow.
It made me, you know, and then having to get in the gym with these guys in the morning and help them do study hall, and then, you know, teaching a kid how to drive, any little things like that. Early on when I got to Midland, which was absolutely the greatest thing that I could have done for my experience, which we could talk about, you know, that later on. But, you know, one of those early nights when I'd been up there for a 6 a.m. workout, managing the academics during the day, I taught a class while I was there, had practice, did study hall, got in the gym that night, maybe talked a guy off the ledge that was in a weird emotional place so that I could help them and help them, you know, get through something difficult. And then got to the end of the day, was like, you know, man, this is, this is coaching in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit more of a wake up because at the University of Texas, we had so much staff and there were so many really good people around that you could do a few things and the other things were taken care of by other people because the team was all working in the same direction, which was very positive.
Yeah.
And then you get to Midland where me and Jamal were the other two assistants and we just had to do everything. And that was like the aha, okay, this is coaching in a nutshell moment of, okay, this is college coaching and this is leading men in college. And we had some awesome players at Midland. We had some guys that needed some leadership and some guidance. And it was really good for my career to get thrown into the fire and have to do all those things.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't tell you the exact day, but I remember some of those early days. I was like, man, what did I get myself into? what is this life I'm about to get into? But then you learn and you grow. It's just like anything that you do early on. And as you learn and you figure out how these things work, then you get better at it and you get some strategies and you learn what it takes and get organized. And only grew in enjoyment and purpose and things from there.
Yeah, no, you're here again, running down that process with us is very helpful for those listening that think to themselves, you know, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that and have aspirations. Here again, not a problem to think those things, just have some reality. And it's good to hear from somebody who's been there and done that, because that idea of not necessarily doubting yourself, but maybe kind of reflecting and thinking, man, what did I just get into? Is this really what I, you know, I have to learn every part of the programming now so that when you become the head coach of Sam Houston State, you're good to go. You can identify situations and problems that if somebody may have not gone through that, they might not have that perspective and have empathy for others who are serving in those roles. Because like you said, it's service-based. And the best way to lead was to have been a good follower. And I think that's just really important and key.
For sure. And I think that the path that I took has helped me have an appreciation for every single step along the way. And so as I'm running this program, I know what it takes to be a manager. I know what it takes to be a GA.
Yeah.
I know what it takes to be an assistant coach along the way. And so that helped me. And I think that people that want to go, that want to make it in this business, don't always understand the value of going to a good junior college or, you know, going to be a GA at a D2 or something, a place where you get a lot of experience and get thrown into situations to help your growth. You know, like being a GA at Texas, I wouldn't trade for the world. And it was a huge part of my journey. But going to Midland, and or, you know, like some people go, let's say if you're at DBU or you're in Eastern New Mexico or you know, whatever, and you go be a GA where you get to do a lot of things, is the best thing you can do for your career, you know, in terms of being able to let you be successful long-term. And it may be really, really hard. Those positions are so hard in terms of the volume of work you have to do, the adversity you have to deal with, the situations. Like we could, everybody that's been in junior college could write a book about the crazy things that they have been a part of. Just like high school coaches could write books and people wouldn't believe the things that get dealt with on a daily basis, you know? And so seeing the value in these positions that maybe people don't, you know, think of as glamorous or exciting, but in terms of the growth through a career, they can be absolutely incredible. I would not be where I am today without everything along the way, but that step to go coach junior college, really launched me because I had to get better. Yeah. I was not good enough at the time as a coach.
Yeah.
And, I was green and I got to gain experience really fast and I got to make a lot of mistakes. And unfortunately for the coaches that I worked for, I made mistakes, but I learned from them and got better. And it made me be able to give me a good foundation as assistant coach going forward. And so everybody has to get that step wherever it is. It doesn't even need to be college. I think that levels of coaching is very overrated.
Yeah.
I think that coaching is coaching and the fulfillment you can get from that can be done in so many different environments and avenues. And so wherever anybody can get that kind of experience, whether it's being a freshman coach at a high school, coaching middle school, coaching AAU, coaching a community center, you know, all the way up to some of the college things, wherever you can get that experience and have that impact and be able to grow is something really positive, especially early in a career, especially if you're doing it when you're not married, you don't have kids, you don't have these other obligations, go do the really hard thing. Because, you know, when you coach, I couldn't do that now. I got 3 kids. I got a wife. If I was trying to do that now in my life, it would be much more difficult to take that kind of growth position to really launch my career.
Yeah.
And so, I think the guys doing that kind of thing where they can really, test themselves and get pushed in those types of responsibility filled jobs is something you've got to do to get ahead in this business.
Yeah. And there's a larger margin and room for error in that.
Yep.
In your learning curve is much bigger than it is when you have those other, you know, here again, your wife, your 3 kids, it's like, wow, okay, they're all waiting on me. They're all looking to me. If I don't have those responsibilities, which are a blessing and fantastic, I just have to answer to me. And, you know, here again, the room for error is important that young coaches understand that. So they can, here again, make mistakes, learn from them, because you're going to make mistakes no matter what, any time in your career. However, it softens the blow a little bit when it's just you and not everybody has to go through it with you. That's important. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Coach, because that's super insightful. Now, what does it mean, you know, given all that, Coach, what does it mean to now be the head coach at Sam Houston State where you've been a part of for, here again, you said 13 years. What does it now mean to you to be the head coach?
Gosh, I mean, I feel just incredibly blessed and lucky because it's been a long journey to get here, but it's also a continuance of the journey, you know? And I feel like what it really does is it allows me to continue to create an environment where we can help out young men to figure out life. You know, this college time is such a formative part of their life and figuring out what kind of men they're going to be, what kind of husbands, what kind of fathers, what kind of workers they're going to be. And if we can be in a place like Sam Houston that values those things also, I'm excited to be able to lead a program that does those things. And, you know, working for Coach Hooten for 13 years, he valued all the same things. And that helped me grow and helped me to be a part of something like that. And now to be able to be the one that makes those decisions and those calls about how that is enforced and led every day is a blessing. And also, more continued growth for me because it's different, whether people like it or not. Whether I like it or not, the perspective is that I have been able to be involved in a lot of things here with Coach, and he helped my growth by allowing me to be an integral part, but I do know that it's different, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing, because there's going to be things that we do the same. There's going to be things that we do different, and I'm going to be able to put my fingerprint on some of those things to do things the way that, that I would like to, for good or for bad, because I may make the wrong choice many times, but to be in this role, it's a little bit, you know, Lindsay, my wife, asked me last night, like, you know, has it hit you yet? And it has not, because it's just been such a whirlwind. These 30-ish days have been moving so fast. I haven't been able to breathe, and I'm sure it will at some point, of the gravity and the magnitude, and that's going to be very humbling to be in this position, and it's going to be very motivating to be, okay, I'm in this position. I've been blessed to be here. Now I need to follow through with it and do the best job that I can and follow through with the things that define me and that I say define my program in terms of a leadership, in terms of faith base and those kind of things. It hasn't really hit me yet, just because I haven't been able to sit down and think about it. We've just been recruiting and hiring staff and making sure our guys graduate, which five of them did, and those kind of things. And I'm sure one day soon it's going to hit me. I'll be like, wow, I started out, you know, wiping sweat on the floor and volunteering in the office and licking envelopes and have been able to get here through the help of a lot of other people. And when that point hits, I think it'll be really cool. Until then, it's just, it's been just go, go, go.
Yeah, no, put your head down and go to work. Yeah, it's, you're saying a lot in that, Coach, because it's super important to reflect and get that extra gear to push forward and say, wow, I told myself at some point I would give everything for this opportunity. Okay, am I ready to give everything again? And if the answer is yes, you're good to go. You know, and those are the things you have to always question yourself, hold yourself accountable. Like the word says, judge yourself. And just kind of give yourself that internal pep talk for what's coming next. And like you said, it's going to be a good time when it actually hits you. And there will be tears of joy, and there'll be elation, and all those things. So I you know, that's fantastic, man. Now I want to ask you, Coach. Mental health. We do a better job of it now. I'm assuming everybody's doing that because it's such a big deal after, you know, COVID shutdowns, all those things. But how important is mental health for yourself, your team, and the staff moving forward?
You know, it's incredibly important. Like you said, I'm so glad that it has come to the forefront because it's been something that's dealt with for a long time, basically forever, since the dawn of time. But now people are able to communicate about it, especially in such a tough thing such as sports, where people are they're made to handle adversity and to fight through and things like that. And mental health is like that also. But being able to discuss it has had this stigma for such a long time.
Yeah.
And that is hard. And so I'm really glad that we've been able to get through that, that we can at least talk about it, because that's step one. And I think the thing that is happening that going along with it is, okay, the step two of, okay, what are we going to do about these mental health things that really do affect us all in different ways, and we have different things. How can we help our players and staff manage their mental health in an active way? I think that mental health in, if you just say, oh, I'm having a mental health thing, it can be used as an excuse. Just like anything in life, my ankle is hurt. Okay. Yeah. Now that we have some awareness about mental health, let's see what we can do to help you get through these mental health things.
Yeah.
You know, because if you do it in an inactive way, I mean, one of the things that leads to, that continues depression, they've done studies on it, is inactivity.
Yeah.
And, approaching problems like mental health, because now we can talk about it more freely, and we can offer resources to be able to actively, work on the foundational things of why are we going through this mental health thing? What are the things in our life, or the things that we believe, or the things in our past that are coming up to create this so we can deal with it? I think is so positive because it allows us to be active instead of it being something that is internalized. So it has to stay inactive because we're pushing it down. I think the ability to get it to an active state to help fix, to help work on it. And fix is not a word that means an overnight or an easy thing. Yeah. It may take years. It may take a lifetime full of work to be able to work on some of the mental health things we have, but we could talk about it now. Mm-hmm. And I love that because we all go through it. Even me, I'm a 38-year-old man. I deal with a lot of those things in different ways because life throws adversity at us. And we all have different backgrounds. Don't get me wrong. My upbringing was phenomenal. I had wonderful parents. My sister's great. I had a great life, but life is hard. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to not have to keep it inside and the ability to be able to go man to man and talk to each other about it and it be accepted, it's so appreciated from some of the athletes that have come out and talked about it. And, the NBA athletes that have not just posted about that they are dealing with things, but posted about some of the things that they are going through to work on that.
Yeah.
Just like they do to, fix, an injury or fix their jump shot. They're helping lead the way for all these athletes who look up to them as, okay, it's acceptable to talk about it. And, it's acceptable to, be working on those things. You know, there used to be a stigma even growing up, of going to see a counselor, and I love that stigma is being taken away. Even when things are going well, it's just like you go see the trainer, even when your ankle's not hurt. It's important for maintenance. Being able to see somebody who is an expert in a field that can help us maintain positive mental health and balance and discuss things is such a positive thing. And I hope that we continue to grow in finding active ways to help ourselves and to help our teams and to help our friends and family manage the things that come with the mental load and mental health every day.
Got you. No, and that's important. You right here again ran off of some really important things that now we're looking at things from a perspective of like, how do we actively help? Not just an activity of just, I always go back to the idea of it's okay if you're not okay, but let's not stay there. And it's not okay to stay there. And that's not to be, so raw about it, but it's to be real about it. It's to say, yes, I first need to take the step of saying something's wrong. But now I need to take the step to say, how can I make it right? And actively do that. Because like you said, regardless of your upbringing, things were good, things were bad, with or without, it rains on the just and the unjust. So you have to really understand that life is hard and you got to manage that. And that's fantastic because I think, we coach because of the people that are involved. We don't, like 2020 taught us, there was nobody to coach because we were shut down. Where were we at that point? A bunch of guys who knew a lot about basketball and knew how to instruct, but there was nobody to instruct and then nobody to teach. So we have to get a clear perspective of what's really important, and it's the players. It's the players, it's the people involved, and how they're managing life and how they're living life and how we're doing life together. And so it's so important. So I appreciate you saying all that, Coach. Now, I want to know what you've learned about yourself throughout your career.
Oh, man. So many things. It's interesting. Like I said earlier, I didn't know that I was going to get into coaching. I think that God has me here to use some strengths, but he also has put me in this position, and along the way, there's so many things that are have been out of my comfort zone that have made me become a different servant leader. And like, I was a very introverted person growing up. Well, coaching doesn't allow you to be introverted. I remember the time, the first camp that I ran the camps at Texas my freshman year. They're like, "Hey, run our summer camps." And I was freaking out because I had no idea what to do. Now I had some great people, Nelson Taroba and people that helped me along the way. But I remember at the first award ceremony, I'm standing up at the podium. We did the week of camp, and running it with the kids was easy for me. I had no problem with that. I get up at the podium and I look out, and there's all these adults and all these parents and then the kids. And I remember thinking, oh man, they're watching me. and that goes against every it went against everything of my internal introvertedness, my, you know, whether it was shyness or talking in front of people or whatever. And God put me in that position, and I've been able to become such a better public speaker, such a better communicator, relationship builder. And that's been really good, not just for me, but for my ability to serve him.
Yeah.
And I've learned different things about how, you know, probably my natural inclination early on was to be a task doer. You know, I was really good at getting things done. But being able to get, you know, focus on relationships with people along the way, you know, God showed me, hey, this is more important than whether you got that email sent out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to learn that, okay, I was oriented naturally to be a task person, instead of being a relationship person. And it's helped me to put a more of a focus on that and risk my life with some of the relationships that have been able to grow. And so I really think that the thing that I've learned is that coaching, just like everything in life, is going to put us in these uncomfortable situations. And I need to dive into those just as much as I dive into the things that are easy for me. Like, yeah. It's easy for me to organize the program. That's something that kind of naturally has always come to me in terms of the keeping everybody on the same page and getting this task and that task done. But diving into the things that we're not comfortable with are ways that God helps us grow.
Yeah.
And so I think that my ability to, I think that I've risen to those challenges in different ways, and not that I don't have so much growth that I need to continue to do, because I do. But realizing that that's a part of it. And it's very easy to just stick to the things that, you know, you're good at. And, I had to realize that that wasn't good enough to do, and grow as a man and grow as a leader and grow as a coach. And so through those things, I've learned a lot about myself that we could go on for a long time, but the foundation of it is that, you know, this is what life is about. And I need to get out of my comfort. Usually the things outside of my comfort zone are the things that I need to grow in the most. So dive in head first, and you're not going to be great at them at the beginning. I wasn't great at those things. And there's so much I need to continue to get better at, but I've been able to view those kinds of things as opportunities instead of as, obstacles or things that I don't want to do.
Yeah. No, you're talking about being comfortable with being uncomfortable, because in a sense, that's where growth takes place. Like you said, growing as a person, like you talked about being a communicator, that's huge when it comes to being the CEO, the head coach, is people need to know where you stand constantly. Not that you have to over message, but over messaging is better than under messaging, I guess. And so, yeah, those things are super important. And so I'm glad you said that, because we all have to, you know, learn. Even when you're at the helm, you're still learning. There's no place where you have to say to yourself, well, you know, at this point in my career, I know it all. And I figured out, like, no, you're still going to have to learn. And I think that's very humble. It's a humbling situation. And it's a great dose of reality every day and through situations to learn. Now, Coach, I want to ask you, my last question is always about legacy and kind of, not to say that, I mean, you're only 38 years old, man. You're still a young pup in my eyes. And so, like, at this point now as a head coach, looking forward in a sense, what would you want to be said of you when your career is all said and done?
Man, that's a great question. I think that I would want my players and the people around our community to say that I cared about them as people. I helped them. I helped our players grow. I was there for them when they needed it. I held them accountable in the areas that showed that I do love them, because part of love is accountability. And, you know, I love that there are former players that still text and call and talk. And, that's my favorite thing about this. And I hope that that will be something that continues and something that I continue to put an emphasis on, because that's the most long lasting thing. obviously we all want to win, and that's what we are hired and fired by, but it's the least lasting thing that we do. And I hope that my legacy is that I put a lot of time and energy and genuineness into the thing that matters the most, which is relationship and helping guys grow. And it takes intentionality. It takes effort. It takes focus every day on it. And I hope that I can do that, you know, in the position that I've been put in.
Coach Mudge, I appreciate your time so much, brother. I really do. Here again, super proud of you, excited for you. Looking forward for what the future has for you and your team. I know one of my former guys is now with y'all, and I just, you know, I'll be front and center paying attention intently and just happy to see the growth that you've come from. And here again, learning more about you today as well, which is always good. And so I just, here again, man, thank you for your time and thank you for making the time.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Anything you need, let me know, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.